Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world that obviously doesn't know God at all and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become light in this darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. We got a good one. But before we get into our lesson, it is time for viewer mail. Our letter today coming from David. He lives in Danville, Illinois. Dear Father Chapin, last Thursday, a major storm ripped through my hometown of Danville, Illinois, causing a whole lot of damage and knocking out power to the entire town. No telephone, no internet, no nothing. As you can imagine, it was pretty tough going Thursday night and Friday, and I was handling things pretty well, trying to keep my wife's spirits up as the crews worked to restore power, which was no small task because Danville is a pretty big town, and we were not the only town affected. Champaign, which is next door, as well as Urbana, which is south of us, lost power as well. So I was doing okay until Saturday afternoon, when a neighbor told me that one of the crew told her that we would not have power until Monday. Not a happy camper at all. The only thing I could think of was, if I miss Seven Ghouli, which is a movie, on Saturday night, and Daily Living with Father Chapin on Sunday morning, I'm not going to be very happy, and there will be hell to pay. Well, after calming down and sending up a prayer, oh, happy day, the power came on late Saturday afternoon, and I was able to watch the movie. But it was awful. I ended up watching the Weather Channel instead. That's how bad it was. But come Sunday morning, when I watched Daily Living, I was not disappointed at all. Amazing teaching, great food for the week. You're doing good work, my friend. Keep letting God use you. Wow. Thank you, David. What do you say? We focus, put ourselves in the presence of God. We are in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing should happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct." Wow, the Gospel of the Lord, and what a gospel it is. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk all about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today, we are picking up exactly where we left off last week in what the church calls a continuous reading. And if you were with us last week, you would know we were talking about Peter's confession, a titanic gospel, and no wonder why it appears in all three of the synoptic gospels. Now, in Mark's gospel, just prior to Peter's confession, he features a story about a blind man who lives in a town called Bethsaida. And people bring this blind man to Jesus, and he does something rather unusual. He takes a blind man by the hand and leads him away from the crowds alone. So right away, in doing so, he is breaking rabbinical law, because of course the man is blind, which means that he is unclean, and by touching him, Jesus is rendering himself ritually unclean. But of course, Jesus does not play by their rules. In fact, it has been noted that a great majority of the miracles that Jesus performed involve breaking some kind of rule. But getting back to the blind man from Bethsaida, Jesus does something very strange. He rubs spittle in the man's eyes, and then he lays his hands on the man's eyes and then asks, "Do you see anything?" And the answer that the man gives is curious. He says, "I see people looking like trees and walking." So he sees, but it's not clear. It's fuzzy. But then Jesus puts his hands on the man's eyes again, and everything comes into sharp focus. Kind of like when they adjusted the Hubble telescope. It was that second touch that brought perfect clarity, which is interesting. And it's something that we're going to get back to. So anyway, as I had said, our gospel today picks up exactly where we left off last week. And last week, Jesus had turned to his disciples and he had asked them a question. And it was a good question. In fact, as we noted last week, it could possibly be the most important question anybody could ever be asked. And that question is this: who do you say that I am? Now, the reason that this is the most important question anybody could ever be asked is because how you answer this question pretty much determines how you're going to answer just about every other question. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, who was clearly illuminated by the Holy Spirit at the time, declares Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, which is both a shocking and dangerous proposition. And this marks a real turning point in the earthly ministry of Jesus. Because from this point forward, we will see things beginning to change as Jesus begins to show the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, he must suffer greatly and be killed and raised on the third day, which, you know, through the lens of Christianity, we can kind of understand, but these guys, no, they don't understand at all. This makes zero sense because messiahs don't die. But like I said, from this point onward, this is what the message becomes. In fact, this is the first of five times that Jesus would bring this up, which must have caused incredible confusion and fear. And in this moment of confusion and fear, our beloved Peter, and who doesn't love Peter, whose mouth moves faster than his brain, okay? Peter decides that he's going to tell Jesus what he needs to do. The man, by the way, that he has just declared the Son of God 5 minutes ago, now is going to tell him what he needs to do. Talk about going from champ to chump in the wink of an eye. He has just been illuminated by the Father to the truth of who Jesus is. This major epiphany that Jesus confirms when he says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my heavenly Father." So here he is, and now he's questioning the plan. But before we start pointing fingers in judgment, truth be told, we do this all the time. "Oh, Lord, I believe, but can we do it this way?" What Peter could not get, and may I suggest many of us don't get, is that there is no such thing as a true Messiah. There is no such thing as a true Christ that is uncrucified. Because without the cross, there is no forgiveness. Without the cross, we remain dead in our sins. Without the cross, there is no salvation. Without the cross, there is nothing but death. Physical death, emotional death, mental death, and finally, spiritual death. The cross was and continues to be to this day the primary mission of Jesus. But may I suggest that Peter was very much like that blind man from Bethsaida. He could see a little, but he can't see a lot. Once upon a time, there was a neurologist named Oliver Sacks who wrote a book called The Anthropologist on Mars. And in this book, Mr. Sacks tells the story of a man named Virgil. And Virgil had been blind since early childhood. But at the age of 50, he underwent a surgery and was given the gift of sight. I mean, can you imagine? But both he and Dr. Sacks quickly found out that having the physical capacity for sight is not the same as seeing. They found that Virgil's experiences were very confusing. He can make out colors and movements, but arranging them in a coherent picture was difficult. Over time, he learned slowly how to identify certain objects, but his habits and his behaviors were still those of a blind man. Now watch this, okay, because this is important. Dr. Sacks asserts that one must die as a blind person to be born again as a seeing person. And my friends, that in a nutshell is Christianity. So let me say that again. One must die as a blind person to be born again as a seeing person. We hear Jesus talking about this to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven until they are born again. My friends, we are the blind man of Bethsaida. We see Jesus a little. We know the story, but it's a bit fuzzy, and we have a hard time understanding and seeing the deeper meanings, which is certainly where we find our disciples today. They had hooked their wagon to Jesus. They had believed that he was the one. He was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And now he's talking this crazy talk about having to go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the elders and the scribes and be put to death. And they're baffled, just as we are baffled when our expectations don't line up with God's plan. Peter and the others had a very specific idea as to what a Messiah would be, and suffering and dying on a cross was not part of that. Has your faith ever been so shaken because God didn't show up? Let me give you some tough love, my friend. Ask yourself this question. Is God here to obey you? How is it that you could ever approach God with your demands? You know what that's like? Let me tell you what that's like marching into your boss's office without an appointment and telling him or her exactly what you require. Who would do that? Nobody would do that. Okay, well, let's talk about a king. Consider Queen Esther in the Old Testament. She's married to a king. She couldn't even see the king unless she was summoned. If you study the history of monarchies, you knelt in their presence. You brought them a gift. You didn't look at them in the eye. Now consider the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I hate to break it to you, but this idea of name it and claim it ain't scriptural and certainly does not line up with our king. But let me tell you what is scriptural. Let me tell you what is biblical. Isaiah chapter 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's the God we serve. And Peter would have done well to memorize those verses. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were talking all about Peter and how he had made this stunning declaration. Clearly illuminated by the Holy Spirit, he has declared Jesus as Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then Jesus begins to show Peter and the others for the first time exactly what that looks like. So Peter decides to take Jesus aside and rebuke him. God forbid this should ever happen to you. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Wow. Talk about whiplash. Get behind me, Satan. Is Jesus really calling Peter Satan? Does he think that his buddy, his sergeant of arms, all of a sudden has become Satan? Well, not exactly, but I do think that Jesus is pointing out the fact that Peter, and my guess is quite unintentionally, he didn't mean to do it, but Peter is channeling that third temptation from the desert. Remember those temptations? First one, after looking at a hungry Jesus, Satan said, "Turn these stones into bread." In other words, you don't have to rely on God. You can make your own provisions. And Jesus replied, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Number two, he took him and made him stand on the parapet of the temple, said, "If you're the Son of God, prove it by throwing yourself off this temple, and the angels will catch you lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus responds, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." But then comes the third temptation, and that's what we're talking about today. He took him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, all of this can be yours if you bow down and worship me. In other words, you don't got to mess with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You don't got to mess with the Romans. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to die. Can you see how Peter is unintentionally, I believe, channeling that third temptation? You don't have to die, Lord. Let's just skip it. And Jesus says, you are an obstacle to me. You are not thinking as God, but as human beings do, which, of course, that makes sense. But he continues, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let us truly consider what our Lord is saying here. Because when we see the cross these days, I mean, it's everywhere. It's on top of just about every church. It hangs around the necks of rappers on MTV. I fear that we have lost a sense of what the cross really is. But the cross, may I remind you, is a brutal instrument of death, invented by the Persians, perfected by the Romans. When you look at a crucifix, what do you see? You see the flesh and blood of Jesus crucified on the cross. When Jesus is saying, you must take up your cross and follow me, what he is saying is we must crucify our flesh and blood, our fleshly desires of this world, so that we can see. Romans chapter 8, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But watch this, okay? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they who live in the flesh mind the things of the flesh. And those who live in the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For the carnally minded is death, but the spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is the enmity against God. So, that's a lot. If the carnal mind is the enmity of God, it would be good for us to understand what it means to be carnally minded. Well, according to Webster's Dictionary, the first definition of carnally minded is giving into crude bodily pleasures and appetites. But if we broaden that definition just a little bit, it would include dirty jokes, promiscuous behavior. But if we broaden it even further, it would become worldly thinking, which St. Thomas Aquinas defines as motivated by wealth, fame, power, pleasure. So within the broader context, the question becomes is, what is your focus? What do you spend the majority of your time thinking about? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What motivates your life? Is it carnal or is it spiritual? My friend, this world can take you to many places. It's very easy to get caught up in this carnal world. And it's certainly where we find Peter today. But we should ask ourselves this question. Where's my heart? Where's my mind? Do I love my God with all my mind, heart, and strength? Can I lay down my own selfish, fleshly desires? Can I? Paul writes, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it is Christ who is living in me. Can I say that? Well, sometimes. But other times, maybe not so much. Because we are in a constant battle between flesh and spirit. It's very easy to follow our own impulses. You don't need to be Hitler to walk in the flesh. It can be as simple as an angry word. It can be getting involved with gossip. It can mean getting caught up in lust. Coveting all manner of things, worshiping all types of idols, all the while giving very little thought to what we will hear when we cross over. One of two things. well done, my good and faithful servant, or get behind me, Satan. This is important, my friend. We need to get this one right. Let us not fall into easy believism. You know what easy believism is? That's when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but then I just go on living like I want to live anyway because all is forgiven. That does not square up with Paul's clarion call to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Honestly, my friends, we are all the blind man from Bethsaida. We see a little, but it's cloudy. It's fuzzy. And we could sure use some focus. Oh, Lord, give us clarity today. Yes, my prayer for you today, my prayer for me today, let us ask Jesus to do for us what he did for the blind man of Bethsaida. He has already touched us once with his gospel. We know the story, but it's still a bit fuzzy, still a bit cloudy. Let us ask Jesus to touch us for a second time with the spirit of illumination to bring us clarity and sharpen our focus and open our eyes so that we can see Jesus for who he truly is. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. And remember, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.